10 years of OK Radio repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
I got your emails. I'm paying attention. I'm sorry. Tonight, I did shave my legs.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night. Stirring every damn night.
Do you know what's in my hand right now? Do you know what I'm holding right now? I'm holding a great American concoction, something they don't get to enjoy in other countries, lesser countries. I'm holding a true America concoction that is soothing me, making me happy in the way very few things except that make me feel. I am holding Horn and Hard Art coffee in my hand that I percolated less than 20 minutes ago in an immaculate coffee pot. Because that's important. Horn and Hard Art Coffee. Oh, you didn't think they made that anymore. You didn't think that was available anymore. So wrong. You're just so wrong. And the reason that you and I can enjoy Horn and Hard Art Coffee today is because of David Arena. David Arena is a cool CEO, not like that jerk you work for. David Arena is a cool CEO who's running the revived startup of Horn and Hard Art and managed to do the impossible in a startup. He's made it generate a profit. David Arena, congratulations for being on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Wow, Walter, thank you so much for such a great introduction, too. I really appreciate it.
I know that, like on actual shows, serious shows, grown-up shows run by people who enjoy getting up early, which I do not and will not. To me, David, the worst words I could possibly hear is, I think we should have a breakfast meeting. What?
And I think a lot of people would agree with you.
And they're always in hotel restaurants. The breakfast meetings are always in hotel restaurants. And you're sitting there at 7:45 and you're like, what the hell are you thinking? And the arrogance of the morning people always saying, you know, I think you should get up earlier. And no one has ever said, I think you should stay up later. And the meat people and the vegetarians say, you know, you should try a vegetarian diet. But no one has ever said, you know, you really should eat more meat. And it's that arrogance that I can't say, well, you get up earlier, get up at 5 a.m., you know, really? For what? For what? Are we on farms? David Arena has done a miracle. He has taken the Horn and Hard Art brand and brought it back to life. And from what I understand, you invested some of your own money into this. Is that right, David?
I did, yes. Yeah, I am self-funding this go-around, but it's actually been pretty good. So we're getting there.
You have no fees, VC money?
No, we don't. So I took over in about, it was late 2022, and we relaunched in the beginning of 2023, and it was all from a small investment for myself to get the brand started again and get things moving, and we have yet to take any VC money. Just, you know, we're kind of going slow, taking our time, trying to build a good foundation for the company to come back, and that doesn't necessarily need a ton of money. It just needs some smart moves to make the company sustainable for, you know, hopefully another 100 years, because it is a very old, 136-year-old company. So, we may at some point, but as of right now, it's a very small team just looking to bring back this great American brand.
VC money. It goes like this. It's the same as the Legend of Dracula. Do you know if Dracula shows up at your door, he cannot come in? You have to invite him in. Dracula has to be invited in. It's the same thing with VC money. It can't just come into your... You have to make the mistake of inviting it in, and then it is Dracula. I congratulate you. I'm so impressed that it's your investment. What David has done is, first of all, he's running a startup, and that's why I wanted to talk to him, because I have so much respect for anybody who's running a startup, and you have a double-edged startup in that it's saves you a lot of time and explanation as to what it is, but you also have the burden of history. You probably find yourself in meetings half explaining your future and half explaining your past. That would be my guess. What is the hardest part of presenting your past? What is the hardest part of reconciling what you're doing today, which is marketing brilliant coffee and marketing it in such a brilliant way? I'm going to talk about that in a second. But when you sit down with potential partners and you're explaining what you're doing, how do you explain it?
Well, for me, I got really involved. I got really excited about this because of the brand's history and the values that the company represented. And this really, I mean, it's a Philadelphia company that started in 1888 by two entrepreneurs, and it grew into the largest restaurant chain in the country. And then went bankrupt in 1991. And like all great Philadelphia things, is no longer with us. So I kind of got drawn into it because of the history, because of the values of the company and the founders, and sort of the idea of bringing something back that the world had lost and that many people seem to really miss. And we hear from customers all the time that say, boy, we didn't realize what we had until it was gone. Now, the biggest challenge is trying to get that across to, a younger generation, like you said, VCs who don't care about that kind of stuff. And so it's sort of trying to make people understand that this is a business and we need to make money, but there's a lot more behind that as well. And the people behind it really genuinely care about this brand and reviving it in a way that I think the founders would say, wow, I'm glad these people are carrying on our names. Joseph Horn and Frank Hardart were the founders, and so the company bears their names. And so I hope that, they would be happy with what we're doing.
They would.
The challenge is, a lot of, obviously the company has such a big history that people do think that we're back and we're this big company again, and we should be opening up retail stores and doing all these things right away. And we are taking a slower approach, and we are a small team. So that's our biggest challenge right now is, the grind of, as you said, the startup life.
You said the grind, and you're selling coffee. All right. Now, Horn and Hardart today.
Yeah, it's bad.
Terrible. David Arena, you and I are talking. David Arena, CEO of Horn and Hardart today. Now, the reason I was attracted to David, besides the fact that he's very handsome, the reason I was attracted to David is that you can buy the Horn and Hardart coffee right now. And I put the link on my Facebook page to Horn and Hardart and buy the coffee. I kept seeing these ads for Horn and Hardart on all the different social media platforms. And I kept being attracted to how beautiful the bags of coffee are. Like, the colors are stunning to me. The color is a very personal thing. And I only have one addiction left, my friend, which is coffee. And therefore, I look for different and better coffee. But I kept looking at these bags, and I kept looking at the marketing. I'm like, this is one smart company. And I ordered it, and then it got smarter. I ordered the coffee. Listen to me, my friend. I ordered the coffee, and it arrives in a, I know this will sound insane, an expensive cardboard box. It's not like a sloppy cardboard box. This is a custom-sized cardboard box for the pound bag of coffee. And then I take the pound bag of coffee out, and it's a premium foil. It's a heavy foil. And I'm looking at the colors, and I'm not kidding. And by the way, this is not an infomercial. I'm not getting paid for this. I am honored that David Arena, the CEO, would join me tonight. This is not a commercial.
So, yeah, go on. Yeah.
No, listen to this. So I'm looking at the colors, and I'm like, I got to paint my office at home. I want these colors. I want this cream and this gold. These are the colors I want. These colors make me happy. Then I make the coffee. And the coffee is Horn and Hardart coffee, just like at the automats. It's Horn and Hardart coffee. You can drink it all day, And it's a perfect dinner coffee. Either way, you're going to win. He also has decaf, but that's just bitter brown water. I've never understood the decaf thing. I need real coffee because, you know, I'm a broadcaster. And it is. And then inside the package, not only do you get this beautiful bag of coffee, you get a card which shows the original location, which was on Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. And you also get, let me stretch and find it here, you also get a history and a recipe card. The recipe card is of the burgundy sauce with beef and noodles that they used to serve in the automats. David Arena, brilliant freaking packaging. Just brilliant.
Thank you.
Absolutely. How many meetings did you have about those colors?
The colors, you know, I can't take total credit for them because the goal with those bags was to blend the history of Horn and Hardart, which is 100 years of designs through, you know, the Art Deco period and the mid-century period, and then also have a bag that represents what the brand is going to be going forward. So it was a really big challenge. So we did work very, very hard on that bag, but the colors did come from the old coffee tin from Horn and Hardart. So Horn and Hardart had...
Really?
Yeah, in the 60s, the company really had a big push to sell the coffee in grocery stores and things like that, and they had this very bright red and yellow and blue coffee can. And we took that and sort of used some of those colors, especially the red and the blue, and we tried to put those kind of mid-century colors onto a bag that maybe represented, you know, the early 1900s and sort of this very classic design, which is why you see that dark brass kind of color. I was really happy with how it turned out because I think it does sort of show the periods of Horn and Hardart where, you know, the early 1900s to the mid-century in a modern way that kind of can at least say to people, the brand is back, we have this great history, but this is the look for the foreseeable future and the comeback of this company. So thank you. A lot of thought went into that bag. Oh. And we tried many different iterations over the years. We had a black bag when we started,
right,
and then we went back to the mid-century colors, and we ended up with this, and we couldn't be more excited about this particular branding, which we just launched this year.
Love the bag. Love the coffee. I encourage you, my Midnight Misfit, to go to my Facebook page, Walter Sterling, no M, Walter Sterling, and there you will find a posting about this interview and a link to the Horn and Hardart page. Order the coffee and then send me a thank you note. David Arena, CEO, Horn and Hardart, an honor to have you on Sterling every damn night. All right, it's about 10:20. At Sterling every damn Sunday.
Lesbians in space.
You're drunk.
What? You're drunk.
All the more reason to go to bed then.
Never want to be the last one at a party.
The Peppermint Hippo. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We drove 7 hours to see 7 minutes of stand-up comedy.
And it was worth every minute.
And you'll find out why coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Walmart associate collared. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night. In the morning, a couple of ladies sit in their car just having a little chat after the closing of the Peppermint Hippo. Yep, the Peppermint Hippo is one of the absolute most popular exotic dancing locations in Akron, Ohio. Akron, the home of the Zips. That's the nickname of their college football team, the Zips. Obviously, bringing in a lot of fear. Well, these wonderful co-eds, we're just sitting in the parking lot, and five people go around the vehicle. Someone pulls out a weapon, brandishes it, and robs the ladies. The Akron police don't take kindly to robbing the wonderful young ladies sitting in the parking lot after the closing down of the Peppermint Hippo. Another note about any exotic dancing place, there are cameras everywhere in the parking lot, all over the place. If you walk into a strip club, you are on camera. Often, they need to find out malfeasances and take you down. Four teenagers and one adult participated in this robbery at the Peppermint Hippo. The Peppermint Hippo, by the way, not known for, shall we say, its Rubenesque dancers. They're usually sleek, model-like dancers at the Peppermint Hippo. You never would have known the difference. People picked up. Hopefully these women get their money back and a lesson to us all. When you're done with your shift at the club, get the heck out of Dodge. From the champagne room, it's Strippers on the Loose. I'm Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night, smart as he can be.
Hey, 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 hey!
From sea to shining sea. Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night, almost works for free.
Hey, 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 hey!
From sea to shining sea. When the ratings come in, he's always tops, while those other shows are total flops. And when the bosses tune him in, the poor themselves don't ask me gin. Sterling, 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 every damn night, friend to you and me.
Live on Sunday night, live on Sunday night, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday. It's exciting, isn't it, to feel a live show and not the Bitcoin show, not the annuities and you show, not the Mr. Pension show. And you know what some program directors say, radio program directors say about this show?
Well, you know, his topics are kind of weird.
Really? Let me tell you. You know what's weird is doing one topic all day. If you programmed a music station, a-holes, what would you do? Would you program one song all day?
Oh, no, certainly not. We've proven not to work.
Yeah. Okay. What you guys do at most of these talk stations is one subject all day. Democrats, bad. Republicans, good. What the hell is that? That's not broadcasting. That's not programming. And that's not entertaining. What I'm going to talk about tonight, I have a list. I actually prep. You know, when you do more than one subject, you have to actually prep. I'm going to discuss the a-holes in our community who actually have homes that don't have air conditioning. What a hell to visit a home that doesn't have air conditioning. Worse, a home that has air conditioning and they don't turn it on. And then a scandal that I saw on a ancient repeat of I've Got a Secret that was beyond anything you and I have ever seen. Sterling on Sunday.
It's Sterling every damn night. It's radio turned every night. Each night when you should sleep, that's when real deep. The bosses hate his show, and that's all you need to know. So for radio that doesn't bite, it's Sterling every damn night. Isn't
this beautiful? This music, it's incredible. It's called a donut. The singing will start again. This is where I'm supposed to put, like, in a commercial message. But, you know, I'm not that prepared. Here they go. Oh, no. Mateus, Boom Boom Hollywood, will be here in just seconds on Sterling every damn Sunday. But first we have to hear this whole jingle go. Isn't it thrilling to be part of such an overproduced show that I have to do actually nothing?
Well, I love it. As a matter of fact, I was just completely fascinated that David Arena has brought back Horn and Hardart. I think that's the coolest thing. So I wanted to share with you that there was a great documentary about Horn and Hardart called The Automat. Out in 2021, this woman named Lisa Hurwitz interviewed all the old H&H guys that had started in Philadelphia, their family members. They talked to Mel Brooks, Carl Reiner, and some equally famous people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Colin Powell, who all had experiences about those incredible restaurants with all of those little windows with the slices of fresh pie in them. It wasn't like a sandwich that was there for 3 days. It was made right at that moment with the beautiful marble tops, the tables in the middle. And interestingly, as David was just saying on this show, he was talking about the design of the old brass on his packaging that you like so much. Well, the best thing in the Horton Hardart was the wonderful fish-shaped coffee dispenser where you turn a valve and your 5 cent coffee came out, the coffee you love, in this dispenser. And it was, of course, entirely a fish made of that color of brass. So this is a great documentary. You can see it on HBO Max. The name of the documentary is The Automat. So as you're enjoying this great coffee, Walter, I suggest that you and or Misfit Listening might want to check this documentary out because it's a fascinating story, starting in Philadelphia and growing, of course, to New York, where so many people like Mel Brooks would sit there and write their early great comedy shows in between sandwiches, drinking that coffee and those wonderful automats that were a truly unique American experience.
David Arena, the CEO of Horn and Hardart today, has a smart plan for this. Unlike me, who would go trying to do everything at once, he's doing one thing at a time. First, he's going to start selling the coffee. Then he's going to build up the business to the point where he can open a small automat. And point of information, what the automat was, because they closed in like 1991, what the automat was a cafeteria, except it was very unusual in that you went in, and there from almost floor to ceiling were metal doors, metal glass with glass in it, doors. And you went up to it, and there was a pie, there was coffee, there was beef stroganoff, and you put in quarters or nickels, the door would unlock, and you could take out your food. But as you just mentioned, the minute you took out food, that box was empty, and they had to make a fresh one. So it was, the food was always fresh. It wasn't just sitting there. And he pointed out, he said, well, it's just as easy to tap a credit card as it was to put in quarters. The next iteration of the automat will be able to use credit cards and debit cards. And that was one of their problems, is that they couldn't refit the automats to adopt credit cards. And so when he starts again, it will be all tap and go. And he'll make it work because he's doing it smart. He's doing it one thing at a time. Make that work. Make that profitable. I never had the discipline to do that. Mateus, share with us the movie industry this week.
Well, right now, I would have to say that How to Train Your Dragon, which I talked about a few weeks ago, it's now in its third week, made $160 million, and it's still the number one movie. Creeping up right behind it is a horror picture I didn't cover called 28 Years Later. It's done $30 million in the last week. And in third place is the movie I'm going to talk about tonight, Elio, which has now pulled in about $21 million since Friday, which is not too shameful. But of all of the Disney-Pixar combinations, Walter, I just don't think this is one of the best ones. Disney and Pixar got together, put this together. It's a new animated feature. It's presented in 3D in some theaters, which is probably the best way to see it. And it's about a boy named Elio, who's fascinated with outer space. His mother, Olga, is Zoe Saldana, who's probably the only big name you'd recognize in the whole voice cast. She's overworked and best stressed out with her high-level job and security in the military. She scans for meteor showers and space garbage. Often with his mom at work, Elio's somewhat precocious, precious, and sometimes his nature gets the better of him. He gets in the way, causing a lot of mayhem at the base. He's also, this was the interesting part of the cartoon, or the animated film, a ham radio fan in this day the internet and phones. The kid likes ham radio, and he thinks that with ham radio, he can communicate with aliens in outer space, and he feels unloved, and he hopes to be abducted by aliens. So he seizes the opportunity to ask them when a transmission from outer space arrives. His dreams come true, and they suck the kid up into a spaceship where he's drafted to prove himself as the leader of Earth and resolve an impending intergalactic aggression. Along the way, he finds a friend, which he hadn't had before, being a nerd, and he lives his dream. But I'll tell you, Walter, it's just so fast-paced, and the way that the kid is written is so unlikable. You know, he's such a brat that made the fast-paced and loud Elio sort of unwelcome space garbage for me. Maybe kids will like it. I didn't get to see it in 3D. I think it would be much better in 3D, but it just moves so quickly, and I just think it's really one of the worst Disney-Pixar combinations yet. Pixar's were so great initially, then Disney got involved, and this is more Disney than Pixar, if you ask me. Anyway, not so fun for me. Maybe kids who are smarter than when we were kids may understand it a little better and can explain it to me.
I saw How to Train Your Dragon with my 13-year-old. This was the first kid-oriented movie I've seen in years that I did not fall asleep. It was the first one I did. When I saw the Minecraft movie, 5 minutes in, I was asleep. I woke up during the credits. This, I stayed up for, How to Train Your Dragon. To me, it's a great movie.
It was very entertaining. Very entertaining. And it was neat with live action, even though it was pretty much a shot-by-shot remake of the cartoon years ago. And, of course, that had subsequent sequels, several of them. But it sort of brought it back again. And who knows, maybe if it does well, they'll keep going with more live-action versions of this same thing.
My live action question to you is this: were those actual actors, or was that AI, or was the actual actors with other voices?
No, those were actual actors in How to Train Your Dragon. The dragons, of course, were AI, unless you've seen some of those around. I haven't been all over the country, but I haven't seen actual dragons anywhere. But the kids were actual kids.
It was terrific. Now, Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, how do we find you on Facebook?
Mateus Bumballs Hollywood is where you can find me. That's MATIASBOMBAL Hollywood, just like the city. MATIASBOMBAL Hollywood. And I look forward to seeing you there and, of course, with you, Walter, every Sunday night.
It's an honor to have you. It's an honor for you to be on a live Sunday night show. There are no other ones. This is how we win, just by being live. Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood, Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Sterling every night, the car bar is alive. Neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive. Trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets this guy.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about the case that started off as a stolen car, but we later found out was a carjacking. Probably about 1994, around Christmas time, and New York City was covered in dark snow. My partner and I were driving around the Fordham Road section in the Bronx, and I ran the plate of a vehicle that had passed. Car came back reported stolen a few days earlier. My partner made a U-turn, and the plan was to block the stolen car in traffic and pull the occupants out. Just as I was about to put it over the radio, a foot pursuit started at the other end of the precinct. I didn't want to go over the radio and step on the foot pursuit, so my partner and I figured we could just handle this ourselves. The plan was to have the vehicle, when it got stuck in traffic behind another vehicle, jump out and pull out the occupants. Sounds good in theory, but what wound up happening is, as we jumped out of the car, the light changed and the vehicle in front moved. My partner and I pulled open the doors, and the two surprised car thieves stared in our faces and stepped on the gas and pulled me and dragged me down the street in the snow. I let go of the vehicle, we jumped back in ours, and started chasing the car. What wound up happening is the stolen car T-boned a 4-6 precinct police car. We jumped out and we started running, and we're yelling to the two cops as they're getting out of their damaged vehicle, "That car's stolen, that car's stolen." The two doors open up on the stolen car, I go for the passenger, and on the other side of the car I hear a crash of glass. I start fighting with the passenger, and I look on the other side of the car, and I see my partner and the 246 cops doing the tarantella in the snow. I cuff my guy up, and while I stand up, one of the 46 cops picks up this hand cannon and goes, "Your partner dropped his gun." I go, "That's not my partner's gun. That's a 357 Magnum." Later at the precinct, I asked my partner what happened, and he says, "When we got out of the car, he says, the guy jumped out and pointed a gun at me." I go, "Why didn't you shoot him?" He goes, "I was too close. I just pistol whipped him and knocked his head into the glass door." The vehicle was taken in the commission of a carjacking several days earlier. A guy that owned a body shop was taking a customer's car home after work one day, and the two thieves came up to him at gunpoint and told him, "Give me your keys and give me your wallet." The guy complied. As he was about to leave, they go, "Where do you think you're going?" He goes, "What do you want with me? You got my keys, you got the car." He goes, "Get in the back seat." The owner knew that they were going to kill him. That would buy them more time to keep the vehicle. He took off running, and the thieves fired a couple of shots at him with their 357 Magnum. The case went to trial. The driver of the vehicle with the 357 Magnum got 9 to 12 years, and the passenger got 4. So sometimes a stolen car can lead to bigger and better things. For more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, J.B. Bakery, Salida and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
There's Father Jim Drucker, one of the original WARM stars. WARM, the best radio station there ever was, shockingly in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And then there's Selena. Selena is a manager of JB Bakery, Burlington, New Jersey. By the way, this Friday, my daughter's going to show up there, so behave. Now,
oh, wow.
Yes, I know, exciting. You better be there.
Wow,
Selena and Father Drucker. Selena, welcome. What was it, about 95 degrees today in Burlington, New Jersey?
True. All I can say, true, wow.
Absolutely.
91, right, Selena? 91.
I think it got up to 93 at least. Definitely beach tomorrow for me.
How about that?
Selena, I know there was some debate about getting an additional air conditioner at JB Bakery. Has this air conditioner been installed?
Actually, I think they're doing that either tonight or tomorrow. They're going to do that. If not today, like I said, tomorrow. So definitely, I mean, we're going to need it. It's 95 degrees.
The 95 degrees probably push them to making a final purchase and decision. Would that be my guess?
Absolutely.
Now, Selena, what is a hot selling item right now? What is trending at JB Bakery right now?
I don't know if you saw the Dubai chocolate bar on TikTok that was trending a couple months ago. We actually made a donut and a cake slice out of that. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's like a baklava and pistachio filling. And we made it with chocolate on it as well. You've got to go in and try it. It's my new favorite thing, and I've had it a couple times.
All right. Now, my many listeners in St. Louis and Sacramento cannot come in and try it. I need you to describe it.
So it's really crunchy, the filling, because it's baklava, which is a really thin pastry. It's a Greek pastry. And it's mixed with pistachio and a little bit of sesame, which gives it a really rich flavor. And it's layers of that inside the chocolate cake and pistachio buttercream and chocolate on the outside. So it's got a chocolate shell. And the donut's very similar, but instead of, obviously, the chocolate cake, it's the donut with the pistachio buttercream and the baklava filling and a chocolate coating on top.
I wanted you to describe it because I wanted baking pornography. You did that, Selena. Thank you for doing that. Father Drucker, a retired captain in the U.S. military, how do you feel today about what happened in Iran two nights ago?
You know, I'm a priest. I'm also a soldier. And I have to say that it was a very, very heavy decision for the president to make, or for any president to make. And it's just a quandary. It's difficult for me to express because it's such a heavy thing that happened, Walter. I understand for doing it because the people there are, and I believe they really are not good people. I'm talking the leaders now, not the Iranian people, because I know Iranian people that were stationed when I was in Turkey. many Iranian doctors were in Turkey serving the people in Turkey. Wonderful, wonderful people. So it was a serious decision to make and a big one. And there's going to be ramifications. It's hard for me to give an opinion. I'm actually being cautious for reasons. Obviously,
No, it's a fascinating conflict that a Catholic priest would have, who was at the same time a captain in the military while serving as a priest to the people in the military. And maybe you could give us a 10-second prayer, Father.
So let us all, whatever faith we are, we ask that God's abundance, the creator of heaven and earth, would bless this world with peace and would bless people of evil to come to goodness and bless the good people with even stronger strength, and that he would bless us in his holy and most precious name.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Look at that. My very favorite band, Haim, has come out with a new album. More details in just seconds.
When Walter Sterling does his nightly show, the misfits all turn on the radio. He'll complain and blame with words that bite, and he does it every damn night. When Walter Sterling does his mighty show.
I understand that we have a new advertiser. All right, let's hear that.
I'm Diane. I've got 747s to Miami. Fly me. I'm Terry. I've got great connections in Miami, all over the Sunshine States of America. Fly me.
I'm Marisa. I've got nonstop flights to Miami every day. Fly me.
Don't you think it needs a little salt? Mother, please. I'd rather do it myself. Control yourself. Sure, you have a headache, you're tense, irritable. But don't take it out on her.
You need Anacin.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
Walter M. Sterling live, about 11:10 on the East Coast, 8:10 on the West Coast, and there is Randy West at a hot Hollywood party. He is the only way you and I will ever get into a hot Hollywood party. Randy West, congratulations on being on Sterling every damn night.
Walter, it's always a thrill to be with you, especially on Sunday night. You brighten up the whole weekend. Now, this party is very social, very fun, but there's a subject going through this. This is because voting for the Emmy nominees closes tomorrow. So people have been voting for the last week or two for Emmy nominations. But now there are people at this party who are making sure that we're voting for them. So it seems like it's just a party, but the ulterior motive is people came to try to lobby last minute to make sure that the voting is going in their favor. So we're sitting here looking at the voting together and trying to convince each other who to vote for Emmy nominations this year. It's wacky. And it's a lot of character assassination now. I never liked him. I don't like that show. I don't think it was good. Yeah. Cinematographer saying, I hated that guy. Let's not vote for his show. So it's kind of wacky, Walter. It's kind of strange. It's you can hear it in the background, man. Everybody's lobbying for their own little Emmy nominations. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Do you dare name one or two of the people at this party?
Oh, I'll name one or two of the people here. Well, I don't know if they want to go by name. I have a cinematographer. We're looking at his three Emmy awards. I don't know where the others are, but his name is James, and we have Raj. Raj, who's a producer. Varaj, what are you working on these days? Working on a fifth of vodka. What? Food show? Yeah, all right. A couple of big chefs on a food show. They're very good. People want to see people cooking. I don't know why, but it seems like it's a big deal. And yeah, all right. Well, I won't talk about that. Yeah. And the cinematographer, man, this guy is like a big-time award winner. And you got a couple of performers here. A couple of performers here who were like, oh, my career could really be made if you just nominate me for an Emmy, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Randy West, West at a hot Hollywood party where people are lobbying to get their votes in for their Emmys, and it closes tomorrow. Right. Any big leads? Are there any leads there?
Well, any lead? No, leads. Well, lead of their own show. You know, there's a lot of lead performers who are like secondary shows that are showing up on these little streaming channels and stuff you never really heard of. And these are the folks who are like hungrier than anything else to get that Emmy because it'll bring them into the whole next echelon. So it's kind of fun to see people manipulate. And, you know, but we all love each other. So we all understand. You're just trying to get your career advanced a little bit. But the food has been incredible, and the booze,
we're all just
kind of floating because it's a big tub of margarita, you know.
Right. But stop, Randy. Tell us about the food, because we've never been to a hot Hollywood party. Please share with us exactly what some of the food is.
Well, the food is shrimp on a skewers, and it's like, what would they do to that shrimp? The shrimp was like barbecued kind of thing. Yeah, the shrimp today was really fantastic. A lot of salads, because we could all feel like we're not eating too much. But, you know, and pesto. So we had pesto pasta with very good little shrimp on top of that, too. So shrimp seems to be the big meal of the day here. And there's barbecue chicken. You know, nothing totally outrageous, you know. But it was served by naked waitresses. So that kind of makes it a little extra special that way. Yeah.
Is that true?
Naked waiters too. Okay. Well, it is Pride Week, Pride Month. So
that's true.
We're equal opportunity. Yeah. Right.
Right. It is Pride Month, so being naked is a celebration of a culture as opposed to being something that to be nervous about.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen. If you take away everyone who's gay out of Hollywood, there'd be nothing on television. I mean, because there's a lot of the jobs here that are, you know, very heavily populated by very artistic people. Let's put it that way. You know, makeup and hair and set design and set dressing. I mean, they're all very creative pursuits. So it may sound very, cliche, but there's a lot of folks who have that creative eye who are don't necessarily fit into middle America's idea of how the world should go. So it is Pride time. And a lot of these folks are living a little different lifestyle. Oh, and one of the makeup people just came in. Hi, Helen's here. Makeup extraordinaire.
Which show does she work on? Which show does she work on?
What show are you working on now, Helen? You and Holly are working on what now? Business People, that's the name of the show? Business People. Great show. Our Business People. I'm not familiar with it, but I'm sure everyone looks good because you're doing makeup with Holly. Okay, yeah. And what else? Landman, another show. Who's the star in the Landman? That was
John Hamm.
Billy Bob Thornton.
And Bob Thornton and John Hamm.
That's right, John Hamm. He's in everything this year. Absolutely correct.
Everything.
Yeah.
And yet, don't they realize that Hacks is going to win everything?
Dark Winds. Somebody's just talking about Dark Winds now. You know, you never know who's going to win because we vote for friends, we vote for best show, we vote for the best parties. You know, because there's all these for your consideration of screenings and interviews and meet and take pictures with the celebrities, and it's hard to forget in the back of your mind that we had a great night meeting John Hamm, for example. Oh, wasn't that fun? He was so nice to all of us, took pictures with each of us. It's hard to say, I don't really care what the show was. Yeah, he was so nice and the food was so good. So there's a lot going on here, some very subconscious level, you know?
In your conscious level, Randy West in Hollywood, in your conscious level, in the history of parties, what was the best party in Hollywood you ever went to?
The best party I ever went to, best Hollywood party I ever went to, not necessarily this year. Well, which one was it? Squid Games, because we played all the Squid Games. No topless women there, but we ran. Great. We all left with the Squid Games, you know, green outfit like they wear on the show. They shut down the streets so we could do this 5K run or whatever. And then we played red light, green light, you know, all those games they play on Squid Games. So that was the most fun. And you had the live music there also. So it's fantastic. So, you know, it's not a total Hollywood party because it's so interactive and all that. I know you want to hear about topless women running around and all that stuff, but
well, yeah, I need
that's
ratings.
Just a typical weekend for you, Walter, so it doesn't much matter what we're doing.
I need ratings. That's why I need topless women. Randy
you
West.
You need topless women. Well, don't we all? Yeah. Well, I'm here with a woman now who just returned from Mexico. No names here. And she decided that after all these years, her breasts haven't been big enough or perky enough. And I'm telling you, she's still healing. It was a huge success. Well, you've seen one, you've seen them both. And just back, she's still healing.
Right. Randy West
big is back in. Yes.
Randy West at a big Hollywood party sharing it with us. I am grateful for Randy West. Thank you, Randy, for being at the hot Hollywood party and sharing it with Sterling every damn Sunday.
In the morning, a couple of ladies sit in their car just having a little chat after the closing of the Peppermint Hippo. Yep, the Peppermint Hippo is one of the absolute most popular exotic dancing locations in Akron, Ohio. Akron, the home of the Zips. That's the nickname of their college football team, the Zips. Obviously, bringing in a lot of fear. Well, these wonderful co-eds, we're just sitting in the parking lot, and five people go around the vehicle. Someone pulls out a weapon, brandishes it, and robs the ladies. The Akron police don't take kindly to robbing the wonderful young ladies sitting in the parking lot after the closing down of the Peppermint Hippo. Another note about any exotic dancing place, there are cameras everywhere in the parking lot, all over the place. If you walk into a strip club, you are on camera, often. They need to find out malfeasances and take you down. Four teenagers and one adult participated in this robbery at the Peppermint Hippo. The Peppermint Hippo, by the way, not known for, shall we say, its Rubenesque dancers. They're usually sleek, model-like dancers at the Peppermint Hippo. You never would have known the difference. People picked up. Hopefully these women get their money back and a lesson to us all. When you're done with your shift at the club, get the heck out of Dodge. From the champagne room, it's Strippers on the Loose. I'm Velo Hool, Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. We drove 7 hours to see 7 minutes of stand-up comedy.
And it was worth every minute.
And you'll find out why coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Walmart associate collared. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
He's the master of the radio. He's even got his own show. There's nothing that he doesn't know. It's Sterling every damn night. His studio is the laundry room. He isn't into gloom and doom. You cannot call him on Zoom. It's Sterling every damn night. Observant, conversant, very fervent. So put on your radio and warm up some hot cocoa, 'cause things are about to get loco on Sterling every damn night.
Twenty-four past the hour, live with Walter M. Sterling, live on a Sunday night. Yes, live on a Sunday night on KFBK, KDKA. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling, KMOX, all of the big radio stations, all of the stations with program directors who have balls, who have the audacity to say, you know, we don't need another Bitcoin show. We don't need another show of old men quoting the Constitution. What we need is to be reminded, and this, I can't believe this. In 1979, before you were born, in 1979, 66 Americans, including diplomats and other civilian personnel, were taken hostage at the embassy of the United States. Where? In Tehran, with 52 of them being held until January 20th, 1981. 1979 to 1981, the incident occurred after the Muslim student followers of the Iman's Line stormed and occupied the building in the months following the Iranian Revolution, with support from Ruhollah Khomeini, who had led the Iranian Revolution and would eventually establish the present-day Islamic Republic of Iran. The hostage takers demanded that the United States extradite Iranian King Mohammad Pahlavi, blah, 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 who had been granted asylum by the Carter administration for cancer treatment. Well, Iran held 66 Americans from 1979 to 1981. The hostage crisis was a pivotal episode in the history of Iran-United States relations. It went on 444 days, and it started the TV show Nightline. That's why Nightline was created. It was created, hosted by Ted Koppel, to cover for a half hour every night what was going on with the hostages in Iran, a clearly hostile administration government toward the United States in 1979, capturing and keeping for 444 days Americans as hostages, including our ambassador. Why the country wasn't bombed then, I never understood. To humiliate and insult us like that was inconceivable. This is not a new problem. It's easy because you're young and you don't remember that, and I'm young and I don't remember that, but I can read history. In 1979, the Iranian government captured and kept hostage 66 of our citizens for 444 days. And I'm sure it was a Four Seasons or a Hyatt Premium, a Hyatt Regency. I'm sure that's where they were kept. No, they were chained to radiators. No, they were chained to radiators and never recovered. Emotionally, never. Can you imagine being held captive for 444 days, not knowing whether or not you were going to be killed today, and living with that every night when you go to sleep, and waking up screaming from a nightmare to this day? That's what they did to us in 1979. I do not understand why we didn't bomb them then. I do not understand why we have tried to play nice for years, or why we would think for a millisecond that they were not developing atomic weapons or developing or doing anything that they say they aren't doing. Hey, we think you're doing this. Yeah, they're doing it. They deny it. Who cares? Strength equals peace. This was the right decision by our president. This decision should have been done presidents ago, many presidents ago. Hillary said she would do this. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah, Hillary said that she would do this. If she got into office, she would do this.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say. But those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
Former Secretary of State would know. Former First Lady, she would know. She said to do this. She was going to do it if she was elected president. Every president since Jimmy Carter should have done it. Every one of them. God bless the President of the United States. He did the right thing. Sterling every damn Sunday.
More news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Walter M. Sterling, good evening. It's a live radio show coast to coast from WGAN in Maine to KFBK in Sacramento. Imagine a powerful network show. We're live. It's the last one. This is the last one. There isn't any more, but I want to talk to you. I do the show so you and I get to talk. Here's my phone number. It's 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Yes, that wasn't AI. That was actually Hillary Clinton talking about Iran. Remember, she had been Secretary of State.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
Reckless, foolish, and tragic is what the Iranians did in 1979 when they captured and held hostage 66 Americans for 444 days, chained to radiators. They were not at Hyatts, Four Seasons, peninsulas. They were chained to radiators. 444 days, Americans held hostage. Not attacking Israel, attacking us. The president of the United States this week did the right thing. In my opinion, it should have been done in 1981 when they held 66 Americans, including the U.S. ambassador to Iran in Tehran. The president of the United States did the right thing. And if you have a different point of view of the world, if you are in the Democratic Party, if you respect the Democrats, hey, that's fine. It's a two-party system. Remember what Hillary Clinton says.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
Walter Sterling's phone number is 855-839-1210. I'm live. You can call. What? You're live on Sunday? Yes. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. What's going to happen next? Not much. I believe we have made the message really clear. And I believe, in my opinion, what's going to happen is that the people of Iran, who are not sheep herders, these are modern people living in a modern culture and a modern society, are going, wait a minute, we got this old guy with his wacky religious views, which make our women clothed, faces covered in public, difficult to go to college, difficult to go and become their dream of being a stand-up comedian. Whatever the dreams are of women, it's hard to get a driver's license in Iran. And you realize that before 1979, that was not the case. Before 1979, Iran was a modern A-plus country with really good airports, with first-world airports, and modern cities, and a modern culture where women dressed the way they wanted to, went to college the way they wanted to. And that was all taken away when a religious zealot became the head of Iran. That religious zealot is still the head of Iran. And it is my opinion that the people of Iran remember what it was like before him, would like to return to that, and return to a Western culture in their own way. They can't do that now because they have to follow the religious dictates of a really old man who's way out of touch. I believe these actions should have been taken in 1981, after they had captured for 444 days 66 U.S. citizens. That's what I think. That's how I feel. How do you feel? 855-839-1210. 855. You want to hear that again? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. You want to hear that again? Here. You're a Democrat. You follow the Democrats. Good for you. Here's what your leader has to say about this.
I want the Iranians to know that if I'm the president, we will attack Iran. Whatever stage of development they might be in their nuclear weapons program in the next 10 years, during which they might foolishly consider launching an attack on Israel, we would be able to totally obliterate them. That's a terrible thing to say, but those people who run Iran need to understand that, because that perhaps will deter them from doing something that would be reckless, foolish, and tragic.
Hillary Clinton, when she was running for president. Walter M. Sterling, good evening. Live radio. My phone number is 855-839-1210. This is Sterling Every Damn Sunday.
Gaffneys, meet the Gaffneys. They live in a 150-year-old house. They've got 8 kids. We don't have time to name them all. Sometimes Dan and Becky like to bicker, and it's always good for a snicker. When you're with the Gaffneys, you know it's Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. It's Sterling every damn night. Ah!
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here once again with tales of living with our 8 kids in our very, very old house.
Which once in a while we leave to take stupid road trips for silly reasons.
Our oldest is doing stand-up comedy. So we drove 3.5 hours one way to watch a set, which was only a few minutes, but well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely worth it. If we had just gotten there and turned around and left, it still would have been worth it because we saw him for 5 of those minutes. When we walked in, we weren't sure if we were going to stay or not because we didn't know if he would be comfortable with that.
I can imagine you're about to do stand-up, probably working blue, and your parents are there.
And we walked in, complete surprise. We didn't say anything. And he turns around and the first word out of his mouth was, "Why? Why?" Takes out his little book and says, "Well, guess I got to cut this and I got to cut that." So immediately he was doing stand up. And no, he did not cut anything out of his set.
We had a great time, hung out at this brew pub place, and it was great. Some of the other comics, not so great.
Okay, so the reason that we chose to actually talk about this tonight is because I have an issue. I have a huge problem with people who build their lives on the fact that their children are terrible, or their children make their lives so rough, or their children are the bane of their existence. These people who walk around going, "Oh, I can't because I have children. I can't because of I'm sweating. I have to do this. Everyone watch me change this diaper. This is so difficult because I have children."
Right, and we have 8 kids, so when the stand-up comic host is complaining about her 4 or whatever,
right,
it's just unfunny. That's the point.
And here's the thing. Motherhood is hilarious. There are things that are funny, and there are things that drag you down or make you tired, or you do that, you know, you could be self-deprecating about that make it funny. But what I don't like is when people throw their kids under the bus.
It's not a good look to put forth this negative stereotype about having children. It's just, first of all, you're complaining about other human beings. Just because they're your kids doesn't mean you can publicly shame them.
Right. And stupid, stupid things like when you walk into a building and say things like, "Oh, the things we do for our kids." What? Feed them, hold them, care for them? The reason that it is so in the front of my mind is because I've been around people like that all weekend. I had a woman say to me the other day, "Oh, yeah, I can't come to work because I have kids."
Isn't that the reason she's working anyway?
Just the, like, let me use the kids as an excuse of why I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. Not like, hey, I need a sitter. Hey, can we do this? Or, you know, help me work this out. Just look at me with the sweat on my brow dying because I have these children. And what it does in my mind to people who don't have children or people who do have children is make them think that the only thing kids are good for is to complain about.
Which keeps people from having children, and that's a whole nother topic that we'll have to save maybe for another day, but people need to be having more babies, but, you know, we'll talk about that later, I guess.
Later, like now? You want to go have more babies?
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
And if you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Dan and Becky, Sterling every damn night. Let's be.
So, are you going to tell me what happened?
Nothing. She just wasn't my type.
What? Are you messing? Jo's everyone's type.
Yeah, but I mean, she's not you.
Hello, I'm Walter Sterling. A show is a show, as we all know, but there's one show on the radio that definitely does not blow. It's Sterling every damn night. Turn on the show on your radio. You'll laugh so hard you'll start to glow. They ought to pay him lots of dough. It's Sterling every damn night. Dom Giordano yaks and yaks and wastes the time of day. But Walter Sterling never talks unless he has something to say. So grab some Merlot and put on the show. It won't interfere with your workflow. It's number one in Buffalo. It's Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn Sunday. Welcome. Now, if you want to hear me during the week, that's totally doable. Download the Audacy app, the best company with the worst name, A-U-D-A-C-Y, Audacy app. And you can hear me every damn night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. And there I am, live, doing an actual show very much like this, with fewer commercials. Because I don't think it's possible to have this many commercials on a regular basis.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
And how does he know anything about gold? Here's a C-list actor from Lifetime. How does he know about gold?
Hi, I'm William Devane.
It's one of the many mysteries for me, Walter M. Sterling. Now, what's very exciting is that AAA keeps putting out this press release saying that I'm supposed to check my tires and air conditioning stuff. So that my car doesn't break down in this heat. Hey, AAA, I got a tip. The best thing that could happen to me is for you to actually come and help me within, say, 30 minutes instead of 3 hours. It's been my experience that I'm sure with all good intention, it usually takes about 3 hours for AAA to come and save me. And one of the things I've learned about AAA, this is really key. Many of their calls go to a regional call center that covers 8 states. What you want to do is get the number of a local AAA office. Get that number. And if you get in trouble, you call that local number. Because when you call the 800 number, you're going to get a regional office. It could be that you're in Sacramento and you're going to get a regional number in Montana. They could be sitting there in Montana, and you say the name of your town, they have no idea what you're talking about. And they have to rely on local services that is in their listing, and it turns out that you know that that service station is closed at whatever hour you're stuck, but they think it's open. And you're going to be sitting there for 3 hours. But I found the trick with AAA, and I'll tell you another trick on customer service in a second. I found that the trick on AAA is to get the local number. Have the local number with you. Any local office is better than calling that 800 number. Tip number two, when you call your healthcare company, when you call your cable company, your internet Wi-Fi company, and you get the Philippines, you get an offshore customer service office. You say to them what I say. I'd like to talk to somebody on shore. That's their code for in the United States, on the mainland. Say, I want to talk to someone in the States. I want to talk to somebody on shore, on land. And they'll say, we can help you. I can help you. No, this isn't about you. I respect you. I understand you have a supervisor listening. I need to talk to someone in the States. And this is particularly important if you want to ask them something that isn't in any script. If it's unscripted, if you want the healthcare company, the insurance company to do something that isn't normal, you want someone on the mainland and you're sitting there all frustrated. You're talking to someone God knows where, probably the Philippines, maybe India. You have the right to say, I want to talk to someone on shore, and they have to make the transfer. They will argue because it doesn't make them look good. Their job is to get you to talk to that customer service in the Philippines, but you can say, I want to talk to someone on shore. They will then try to trick you and transfer you to the person sitting next to them, probably sharing the phone, probably listening on the same time. And you can tell and say, no, I want someone on shore. And the minute you get somebody on shore in the 48 states, you will know. It's very clear that you're with a person who can actually help you and actually knows where you live and what your challenges are. And it's an entirely different experience. Isn't it tragic that I need to explain this? Isn't it tragic that that's the situation today? My name is Walter M. Sterling, live every damn Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. My email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, you're a midnight misfit, you don't belong, you're perfect for this show. Finally, there's a show for us, for you and me, that recognizes that this is the best shift. This isn't the late shift or the third shift. This is the best shift. This is the best time of day to work, isn't it? This is fantastic. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Sterling every damn Sunday.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Walter M. Sterling, good evening. It's a live radio show from coast to coast. KFBK, WGAN, KGGF in Coffeyville, Kansas.
Here he comes every damn night. It's Walter Sterling and he's always right. Hey, 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 hey. It's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right. But the bosses get scared. Hey, 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 hey. It's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right. He's not all that friendly, but he can talk all right. So be here, here for Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. Damn night. So be here for Sterling.
On this show,
hi, I'm William DeVay.
Dave Scott, a known Canadian, on this show, a live coast to coast show. Dave Scott is an expert on UFOs, Sasquatch, metaphysics, portals, conspiracies, everything that you and I are actually interested in. And he wakes up every day wondering, why doesn't the History Channel ask Ziggy Hawass, the head of Egyptian mysteries, why they don't ask him, all right, Ziggy, you're always saying that these pyramids with 4-ton blocks were built by your ancestors with brass tools and a ramp. Why don't you say to him, okay, your ancestors built it, why don't your neighbors alive today, why don't they show us how it was built? Why don't they build a new one? Just ask your Egyptian neighbors now, because 4,000 years ago they did it, no problem. Therefore, an Egyptian could do it today. Now, Dave Scott, do you know where Pete Hegseth was this week? Do you know where our Secretary of the Military was this week, Secretary of Defense? Do you know where he went this week?
Where did he go? Because I know he's been pretty busy.
Area 51.
Oh, nice.
He went to Area 51, I think, yesterday.
That's very interesting.
Isn't it?
That is very interesting.
Probably to check the next round of weapons. How are you, Mr. Scott?
I am great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm indoors. My wife's been away for 10 days. This is better than 3 months in Bermuda. It's, you know, I'm able to do things in the house without editing. I have no editor to ask the following questions, which are, who put this here? Or, why is this over here? Or, why did you do it that way? I have no editor. It's astonishing how many things have gotten done. Do you know what I actually did? And after you're off, I'm going to reveal how you do it, because it was always one of the mysteries to me. The oven door of any oven is made up of two pieces of glass. And in between the two pieces of glass are stains that you can't get out because they're inside. I have removed those stains. It was embarrassingly simple to access between those two pieces of glass. How about that?
I'm actually quite impressed.
Thank you.
I don't know if I could do that without breaking anything.
That's why I had to wait for my wife to be out of town, because she believed that I would break those pieces of glass, and they're back in perfectly just fine.
You're a hero among home fix-it guys right now.
I feel like I'm Mr. DIY.
Are you wearing a championship belt as you talk about this?
You know, I'm going to order one from Amazon right now.
You should.
Thank you.
You totally should.
Thank you. And what are you doing?
Well, I am. My little boy turns 12 tomorrow.
Wow.
So today we had his birthday party, right. And I was, you know, I was a little shocked at the list, because like 11 kids showed up and they all had a big Nerf gun war all over my front yard and backyard, and I thought that was absolutely fantastic. But it shocked me when never in his life has he had invited girls to his birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
So he invited three little girls from his class to come on over and hang out and play war games and all this kind of stuff, and they did. It was a great time, but, you know, I was a little bit proud and a little bit shocked of my little guy, who will be, you know, preteen as of tomorrow at 8:43 a.m. Pacific.
Well, now that you told me that, he's never meeting my 13-year-old daughter.
Well, you know what? He is a good-looking kid. I'm not going to lie. And he's smart, too.
Yeah. My kid's also good-looking. I can't tell you how smart she is. I don't know. But I know that she's an expert on Minecraft and Roblox.
Well, maybe they've played together, and we don't even know Walter.
Maybe, entirely possible. What's going on in space?
Well, there was an interview done on a YouTube channel called Area 52. Chris Ramsey, a Canadian host out of Montreal, interviewed a former CIA intelligence guy named John Ramirez, who has been on my show before. And I actually helped hook that up, because I'm the one who gave Chris the phone number for John and set that interview up. So I'm pretty proud of that. But one of the topics that John talked about, and I know you like this topic too, so I thought it would be really great, is alien implants. So what is an alien implant? Well, many people who believe that they have been taken by extraterrestrials seem to find little objects within their skin. Sometimes it feels like they are moving. Other times they are stationary, and they go get things checked out because maybe they feel like after an abduction they got a bump on their head or they got a weird red mark on their shoulder or on their back. And then they go for an X-ray, and there is some sort of object within them. Now, the late Dr. Roger Lear used to actually operate on people who alleged to have alien implants, and what they are for, we do not know. Many people believe they are a tracking device, so that way the aliens know where you are at all times and are recording all of your data from how much you breathe to what is your sexual arousal to what your thoughts are each and every moment. What they do with that data, we have obviously no clue. But many people believe that they have been implanted by aliens.
Yes, tracking devices. Now, when they are taken out, they must go somewhere. Have you seen one of these tracking devices?
I have never seen one personally. I have seen photographs of them.
Right.
And usually they're very tiny. Okay, sometimes they look like a metallic strand of hair. Other people have claimed that when they have tried to have their implants removed, they actually move and go hide in the human body to areas where you can't get them surgically, because the minute you open them up, they move again. Other people believe that they look like little miniature Tic Tacs that are placed in your skin. Now, a lot of times these things, they are metallic in color. They are usually either silver or black. And most people don't even know if they have them or not, okay, if they are abducted. It is something where it is a controversial subject, even within the alien abduction community, because a lot of people who do get taken do feel that they have been injected with something. Many of them have recall that they were implanted. Others just maybe not feeling well, or they feel something move and they go get an X-ray and that's where it is. But what they're actually made of, you know, it's nothing too huge. I mean, a doctor may pass it off as a sliver, or maybe in this case with John Ramirez on Chris Ramsey's Area 52, where the lady believed she had an alien implant in her gums. Well, many people in the dentistry industry believe that it was a buildup of silver fillings that had built up and wedged itself within her gums. So there are a number of options, both practical and impractical, but we do know that alien implants could be real.
Dave Scott, spacedoutradio.com, YouTube, every show he's ever done, spacedoutradio.com. spacedoutradio.com, where you can get his terrific merchandise, Walter M. Sterling, every damn Sunday.
Your heart!
Walmart!
Sterling Shop! Walmart! Sterling Shop! Walmart!
The Walmart associate, 20-year-old Adrian Martinez, arrested during an immigration enforcement operation at the Pico Rivera Walmart last week. Security camera footage from the store does not appear to show Martinez throwing any punches, but they were picked up anyway. So Adrian, who I don't know if it's a he, him, they, them. It looks like a he, him. It doesn't look like a she, her. You know, you don't know these days. You just don't know. So the Pico Rivera residents, by the way, upset and outraged that the federal agents were actually inside your neighborhood Walmart. Walmart, known for cheap labor, but they follow the law, the largest corporation in the entire world. Their employees are U.S. citizens. And if, for whatever reason, somebody gets slipped by, they follow the law if all of a sudden one of their employees at the Walmart gets collared or fingered by the feds. Have you ever been fingered by the feds? I haven't been fingered by the feds, and I think that's a pretty good thing. According to young Adrian Martinez's attorneys, they say he was protecting a little old lady
in a wheelchair. And that's what you sort of expect from a Walmart associate. That's on brand. Looking out for the little old ladies in the wheelchair. Yeah. Dimitri Gorin, the attorney of young Master Martinez, says to say that Adrian is the aggressor is absolutely untrue. ICE raids. It's the people of Walmart. I'm Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling, Sterling, every damn night. Sterling, Sterling. Hello, Night Walter's here, and he's always right when he's on the air. You should all pull up a chair. Every damn night.
All right, I hope you're enjoying this song. 1210, 1210. Hello, it's not 1210, it's 1226. 1226. Throughout America, East Coast, Eastern Time, 9:26 on the West Coast, Walter Sterling. I just posted on Facebook a picture of myself from right now, this second, on the air. Facebook, Walter Sterling. Take a look. And I need a picture from you. I need a Sterling snap from you. Take a picture of whatever you're looking at with that expensive, overpriced phone and send it to me at WalterMSterling@gmail.com, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And what I don't understand is when I walk into somebody's house today, this happens. This happened to me. Maybe it happened to you. I walk into somebody's house today, and over there in their window is an air conditioner. Not on. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm like, it's got to be 80 degrees in this house. What is the freaking etiquette? Unless they're your closest relative, what is the etiquette to get somebody to turn on their air conditioner? Where is it in the book of etiquette that says this is how you get somebody to turn on your air conditioner? I'll never understand the stinginess about air conditioners, and it's profound. There are people who shockingly don't own an air conditioner, and there's no excuse. There was an excuse 30 years ago. They weighed 2 tons and they cost $1,000 and they were okay. Well, now you can go to Walmart. In fact, you could get online to Walmart and they'll deliver one to you for $140. You can get a window air conditioner from Walmart for $140 and they'll deliver it to you. And maybe if you give the guy $10, he'll put it in your window for you. Hard to say. There is no excuse for any school not to have an air conditioner or your home to not have an air conditioner. There's no excuse. And they're energy efficient, which brings us to this question. Why is it that every year you and I buy more and more energy efficient appliances and we have to have these stupid LED lights for the past few years? Thank God that's over. These LED, fewer, using less electricity lights, right? And our electric bill keeps going up. Why does our electric bill keep going up? And why is it that there are brownouts and blackouts with 125-year-old known technology called electricity? And the brownouts and blackouts are because of weather and usage? Our usage is well known to the electric companies. It's easy to plan for how many people are using their electricity. I know, build redundancy and don't keep raising the rates when we keep using less electricity. And then it's like, well, you know, there's a fixed cost to running those generators. No, there's not. Just as you and I renew our appliances with more and more efficient appliances, they should be renewing their generators with more and more newer, efficient parts. 125 years we've had electricity, and the electric companies still haven't seemed to come up with a way to keep them redundant if there's a storm, a tornado, flood, or a lot of people using their electric when it's 95 degrees out. known technology, known problems, known consumer base. Oh my gosh, what is the freaking problem? How could our bills keep going up? And when they have a brownout or blackout, when are they going to deduct billing for those time periods? Why is it that we don't get a credit for the days they don't provide electricity? Why don't we get a credit for that? A big credit for the incredible inconvenience that this causes you and me. And remember, those rate increases have to be approved by your state government. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Should have had a Generac generator expert.
Oh, believe me. And our neighbors have it.
Yeah. By the name of MTRule.com, by the way.
I know.
Days like today, thank God we have 1210 WPHT. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of people without power who might not be able to fire up the YouTube, fire up the Odyssey apps. You can always get us a 1210 WPHT, which is nice.
Do we have power outage numbers from the companies? In all seriousness, MT Rule, get yourself a Generac generator.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.
Hi, this is Joe Medarchik, PNC Bank Regional President. People ask us, is PNC just a boring bank? Well, that depends. Is starting a business boring or being the first person in your family to go to college? For nearly 160 years, we've done the hard and occasionally boring work of banking to deliver brilliant results to our clients. To see what boring banking can do for you, stop into any of our local branches right here in the greater Philadelphia community. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Want money back for your home improvement projects this summer? Call CNC Heating and Air Conditioning, your York Certified Comfort Experts. Family owned and operated, serving Montgomery and Bucks counties for over 50 years. With 24/7 service and trained technicians, CNC will make sure your system is running efficiently all summer long. Refer a friend, and if they purchase a new full HVAC system, you both receive money back as a thank you for supporting our family owned business. Schedule an estimate today at cc-hvac.com/referral.
It's time to graduate into a new Hyundai with no increase in your monthly payment at Colonial Hyundai. That's right, only at Colonial. Graduate into new technology, styling, and better gas mileage. And save big. For a limited time, save up to 20% off any brand new Hyundai in stock. That's a savings of up to $10,000 off. And even if your trade is less than an A+, we'll give you $6,500 for your trade, no matter the condition. Guaranteed. Only at Colonial Hyundai. It's the perfect time to move up to a new Hyundai and take advantage of the best financing in the business at Colonial Hyundai, with rates as low as 0%. And every new 2025 Hyundai comes with 3-year complimentary maintenance and America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain, and Hyundai Assurance. Shop us online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Graduate into a new Hyundai at Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai.
In-stock vehicles only. Tax and tax additional. Offers cannot be combined. See dealer for full details. Offer expires.
When you need to know, depend on KYW News Radio, 103.9 FM.
The heat wave just getting started already. Concerned about overcrowding at cooling centers set up for people without AC. And AAA says check your tire pressure and batteries to avoid breaking down in this heat.
Get the latest anytime on KYW News Radio. Now on Crystal Clear 103.9 FM.
You've never needed us more.
Attention, have you racked up $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? With credit card debt reaching all-time highs, National Debt Relief is notifying consumers about significant debt relief options currently being made available to help those with overwhelming credit card debt. These options may reduce a large portion of credit card debt for those who qualify. You don't need to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan, and you may only have to pay back a fraction of what you owe, even if you have bad credit. National Debt Relief has already reduced the credit card debt for more than 550,000 consumers, so don't wait. If you owe $10,000, $20,000, or even $100,000 in credit card debt, you can now take advantage of this financial debt relief as the cost of living continues to skyrocket. To check what debt reduction you may qualify for, call 800-207-4545. That's 800-207-4545. Once again, that's 800-207-4545.
A promise is potent. Born of intention, fueled by commitment, it's seeing things through, always showing up. And we know a thing or two about promises here at Susan G. Komen. Over 40 years ago, we locked arms with you toward one vision, a world without breast cancer. By investing in life-saving research and standing up for patient rights, we are shifting the system so all people everywhere get the care they deserve. Because if you've just been diagnosed and don't know where to turn, we've got you. If you can't afford the treatment you need, we've got you. And if you are driven to raise money to honor the best friend you've just lost, we have a place for you here. Because of you, we're supporting those who need help today while tirelessly searching for tomorrow's cures. Ending breast cancer needs all of us. Visit Komen.org and be a part
of
this.
What's the weather about today? What's the weatherman say? Will it be cloudy up there? Will it be cold out there? Will it be a happy fair? What's the weather today?
From Maine to Sacramento, this is weather for Sterling every damn Sunday night. I am meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. In contrast to what's happening in the East and Midwest, the West starts the week with cooler than normal temperatures by about 10 degrees, very dry with very low humidities and an overall southwesterly wind flow, and we'll see temperatures gradually warm back to near normal by midweek. For Sacramento specifically, sunny skies with high temperatures right around 90 degrees and overnight lows in the upper 50s, mostly light south to southwest breezes under 10 miles an hour. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here, Sterling every damn night.
More news, day and night around the clock, it's all news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
The Heim Sisters have a brand new album out. It's fantastic. Here's a sample.
Relationships.
Sterling every damn Sunday, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Walter M. Sterling. That's Haim, H-A-I-M. Great album. It's called I Quit is the album. And this song is Relationships. It's the best song on the album. WalterSterlingShow.com is the website. And I want to see a Sterling snap from you. Send it to me at WalterMSterling.com. Sterling every damn Sunday.
Thank you. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Thank you.
All right, for our first Florida story, we're going to Daytona Beach, where it sounds like the Benny Hill theme. It must be playing over a loudspeaker somewhere. There's a dude on a motorcycle, and it has a trailer, like a little trailer hitch with a two-wheel trailer, and he's toting some stuff. He's headed toward a drawbridge, and he kind of notices, hey, that's weird. The bridge is going up. And then I guess, I don't know, maybe he's farsighted or something. He notices the little traffic gate, the arm, the safety arm that comes down is right in front of him. So he tries to hit the brakes, but he notices it too late. So it knocks him off the motorcycle. It just clotheslines him off. However, the motorcycle keeps going. It would usually fall over, but the trailer's sort of balancing it. So it just keeps going. And as the drawbridge is going up, this motorcycle, this unmanned motorcycle, is just driving itself. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, is it going to be able to like launch and cross it? But it starts to lose a little bit of speed as the drawbridge gets high. And so then it just kind of tumbles over the edge, but the trailer doesn't. So it's caught there, and on the motorcycle is just hanging from the drawbridge, and the trailer is keeping it from going into the river below. The driver himself not hurt, which I'm surprised, because in like the last 4 months, I think I've told you about two different people dying on a drawbridge in Florida. So it could have been worse. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we go to Pasco County, where Pasco deputies are warning of a new drug that's 20 times deadlier than fentanyl. I know. It sounds like the Florida stories guy's making things up. Fine. Don't listen to me. WFLA.
A warning from Florida's attorney general about a new deadly synthetic opioid commonly referred to as ISO.
And this stuff is a killer, and not just for those who take it. It's said to be so strong you can die from touching it or breathing it in.
Now, doesn't that sound a little sensational? Like, what's in your kitchen that could kill your kids? Yeah, a drug that's so deadly you can die just by standing next to it. I'm a little skeptical here. You could die if someone's on it and you smell their farts. If anybody can handle it, Florida can. Y'all calm down. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Jacksonville, Florida, where a 37-year-old Florida man keeps coming into this pawn shop and selling them stuff that they can turn around and sell and make a little bit of money on. But he's been doing it an awful lot. And the goods that he's selling don't look used. They still look like they're fully sealed and in the box. They raise a red flag, cops look into him, and yeah, this is a guy who goes and shops lifts from the Home Depot and then sells it at pawn shops. They recovered 18,000 worth of items that were stolen at the Home Depot already at his apartment. You know, I knew a guy who did this, and he wound up in jail too, so not a big shocker there. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we have a 40-year-old Florida woman who's being charged with battery for shooting her neighbor in the face with a squirt gun. Now, you're probably wondering, what's the catch, James? I don't know. I just think it's weird. She doesn't like her neighbor. She doesn't like the fact she wants her neighbor to move. And so every time she walks past her house, she squirts her with a squirt gun. It didn't tell me what kind of squirt gun. I assume that it's not filled with anything like a bodily fluid or something gross or battery acid or anything. I think she's just squirting water on it. But, you know, you kind of wonder, is that illegal? And in Florida, they will charge you with battery if you're squirting someone in the face with a squirt gun and you know, they're not like an active participant in it. That is a thing. And that is a thing you learned from St. Petersburg, Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What? For our next Florida story, I've never been here before. Oldsmar. This is its first entry. What we have is a 47-year-old Florida man, and he is on the front lawn of someone's townhouse, naked from the waist down. In one hand, he has a pickle. In the other hand, he has his pickle, and he's going to town with both. They suspect drugs were involved, but still, like, what kind of... I don't know. I'm not into hard drugs or really pickles, but isn't that kind of big? Hold my beer.
Wait, hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, I thought we'd end with something fun here. We have a Florida man who has pleaded guilty to violating the Lacey Act. The Lacey Act says it's illegal to import, export, transport, sell, receive, acquire, or purchase any wildlife that were taken, possessed, transported, or sold in violation of any law, regulation of any state or the United States. And just to break it down in how you and I talk to each other, what it means is right now there's some guy in prison in Florida, and the dude next to him goes, what are you in for? He says, because I sold a monkey to Chris Brown. Yeah, and that's actually how he got busted. Chris Brown had a monkey, and PETA's like, where did Chris Brown get that monkey? And so they sort of traced it down. PETA handed off their info to the U.S. Department of Justice, and this guy may be going to prison for up to 8 total years. I doubt he'll get all that. That just goes to show you, these monkeys ain't loyal.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What
is it? Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on Twitter, at Florida Stories J. I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars. Despite the darkness, Solyndra's round eyes glittered in the wan moonbeams. Treat me like I'm any other woman who happened to cross your path and attracted your attention. Meg let out a nervous chuckle, ruffling the hair at the side of her head. Careful there. You might not know what you're getting yourself into. Is that a warning or a promise? She swallowed back a groan as Solyndra's coy remarks threatened to tear away all her reasons for resisting. Still, the doubts lingering at the back of her mind made her hesitate. I have to ask, she said. And if you tell any of the others, Ronan especially, about this rare, vulnerable moment of mine, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll come up with some sort of retribution soon enough. She tilted her head forward, her loose waves settling around her face into flawless frame. I'm listening. Meg inhaled a deep breath, then let it out. Why me? She finally said. With everyone you've ever come across, from the staff at the castle to visitors from far-off lands, why are you interested in an insignificant peasant from a village that doesn't even have a name? Solyndra crossed her arms in mock irritation. I thought we'd been over this. From the moment we met, you were friendly and kind to me, even before you knew my true identity. You invited me, a stranger, to join you, even giving me your sister's boots to make sure I'd be comfortable. She kicked at a tree root. It's not like anyone else was using them at the moment, she mumbled. Then, no matter what's happened since, you always know exactly what to do or say. I wish I could be half as smart and perceptive as you. And I still think you're crazy for saying so. Her gaze remained glued to the ground, her next words barely audible in the thick forest. I'm really not as special as you make me out to be. What else do I need to do to convince you? Dark red lips curved down into an alluring pout. Fine, I'll keep going then. I like the way your hair always looks so wild, like you've spent the whole day running through the wind on another adventure. I'm fascinated by how the color of your eyes shifts with the light, from calm seas to stormy skies. And whenever I see your smile, not like when you're fooling around with your friends, but the real one, I can't help but feel happy too. Okay, enough. Fire burned in Meg's cheeks, and she hoped the shadows would help camouflage it. You're making me all flustered. Oh? Solyndra tapped her chin, pretending to study her. I didn't think anything ever flustered you, Meg. How interesting. She tried to laugh, though it came out as more of a snort. So, putting aside all the flattery, where does this leave us? Well? Leaning against the tree, she tossed her hair back, letting the starlight illuminate her face. Based on our conversation last night, and everything since, I think you owe me a kiss. Meg's heart skipped a beat, but before she could respond, Solyndra straightened, her air of self-assurance replaced by a perplexed expression. Is this how these things are supposed to go? She whispered. The words sounded pretty good in my head, but now I'm not so sure. She couldn't stop the corners of her mouth from turning up in what she assumed was one of the aforementioned genuine smiles. It was perfect. Stepping forward, she closed the gap between them. As Solyndra gazed at her with her striking green eyes, she felt an obligation to make this kiss memorable. Reaching up, Meg caressed the side of her face, her thumb tracing the contour of her cheekbone. With gentle pressure, she tilted her chin upward and brought her mouth to hers, letting it hover in place for a brief yet endless moment before coming in contact with her. Soft lips welcomed her, parting when she snaked her tongue forward. The taste of her made Meg's knees tremble, and she sought to explore her mouth in detail. With every advance, Solyndra's tongue engaged her with a playful swirl, eager to probe into her in return. Meg buried her fingers in her silky hair, holding her tight. Her other hand meandered lower to rest at her waist, and her imagination went into overdrive, fantasizing about what lay beneath her heavy layers of clothing. Solyndra enhanced the vivid images by gripping her shoulders and pulling her closer. With a sturdy tree behind her, their bodies flattened together, and Meg had to resist the temptation to tear her cloak off of her. She reminded herself to be patient, however, and settled for losing herself to their blazing kiss. Unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
Best friends, of course everyone thinks we're dating.
We are dating.
Well, yeah, but it's just for the bit.
Okay, but people are going to get the wrong impression.
Oh my God.
Email, waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zant, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brook, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Yarkaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.